Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Fins and dummy half. It's with the halfback, William. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyf, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earle, and Earle is in again. No!
Before we start the podcast today, we're just going to take a moment to remember all the fallen NRL Supercoach guns. Payne Haas, Reece Walsh, Brennan P. Kura, Greg Marju, Mitch Moses, Nathan Cleary, Lindsay Collins, Scott Sorensen, Toby Rudolph, Royce Hunt, Dale Finucane, Tane Torpicki, Tino Fasua-Malawi. Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook podcast, head of NRL Supercoach Round 4. I'm your host, Tim Williams, brought to you, as always, by Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. Spite, I've never seen anything like it.
Madness.
Injuries. One of the toughest starts to the season that we've seen.
We're talking about my new haircut, but did it myself.
Yeah, Supercoach players dropping like the hairs on your head.
It is. Oh, righto. I walked into that one. it's chaos, but, you know, it's all part of the fun in it, like, especially when your side's going all right. But it's just, like, jump on today. I was had a pretty busy day at work, and every time I jumped on the phone to have a quick look, someone else was out. All bloody happening.
We knew that Brennan P. Kura, we got word that he was injured today, I believe, at training. And just before we hit record, sounds like he's out for around a month as well. It has just gone from bad to worse. Here to hopefully get through it in today's podcast and help people navigate one of the toughest rounds in recent memory, as mentioned, 2019 NRL Supercoach champion Desi Creek. Desi, you're cruising.
I wouldn't say cruising. I had a good week. I mean,
when I say cruising,
all get lucky. Look at Guru's week.
Yeah, you know? I'll deal with Guru tomorrow. Let's not mention him today. When I say you're cruising, pre-show I said it's a week to boost if I've ever seen one. And you said, I'm not boosting. And I'm like, I'd use one last week. You go, nah. It might have changed with the pair of Guru news, but you're going pretty well.
Yeah. I scored pretty close to 1,200 thanks to Kiraz and Coruscant. They were two guys that a lot of people didn't own, and I decided to start with them. So, yeah, I mean, going that big without having guys like Tedesco going, you know, 140, Val going 140, Dom Young going 150.
School.
I missed all of those guys, and I still, you know, went pretty well. So, yeah, I guess sitting pretty, but, you know, carnage. Probably going to be forced into the boost this week.
Yep. I don't think you'll be alone there, mate. Spy, not a bad week for yourself as well. You brought in Latrell Mitchell, copped an absolute roasting for it afterwards, but not too bad.
I was ropeable, buddy, Friday night at about 9:23 roughly. I had a really good week. Ended up 10:84, I think. Had a pretty good jump. Side set up nicely. Jumped onto Sledge Desi. And I better check his score first. I bought that one. I'll play Desi Lad. But yeah, Trell, just frustrating because obviously watching him pretty close, not in the game at all. Not through, I thought, lack of effort, but just Bunny's utterly dominated. Just couldn't quite believe how that unfolded. But he still got himself up to what what would have been 44 points in 70 minutes without the sin bin. Like, on track for 55-60, I'll take it. Then we got the doggies. Then he got binned, came back, had like one run in the last five. And I just like, it totally ruined my Friday night. We always talk about you can't let it get you down. It got me down.
Any justification.
But
Spy always has it.
Well, tell me why I'm wrong.
And, I was waiting to hear what the positivity in Charles 37 was, and we found it.
We found it. And, but the very next day, I had birthday beers at home, flat screen out the back, and Karaz scored 120-odd, and yes. I was just like, we're back, baby. So.
Sunday's been good to us this year. There's been a few Sunday saviours for super coaches.
It was Saturday.
Saturday saviour, yeah. Sorry.
But yeah. They're all good saviours. We'll take anyone we can get.
Coombe Stallions... 1,004. So, I mean, not a great week. Probably, I mean, I went up in rankings to 57,000 overall. So, a bit above par, I suppose. But when you come from that far back, there's, not all terrible. There were some good scores, some good performances in there, some good cashes coming through. I did cop an early season auto emergency, which was really deflating. When the news of Chan came through, I had him locked in as my fourth reserve, thinking I'd 80-minute edge back row for the Storm, going well. And then the news came through that he was out. It might have been late-ish on Saturday, and all my players on my bench had played, and I had Hammer and Bostock as well, who were both on the bye. So copped an AE of about 22, which wasn't ideal there. But one thing I've said a few weeks in a row, happy enough with the team. I'm also happy that I've only used three trades so far this season, because I'll absolutely be boosting this week with a lot of trades on the table, a lot of great options. And I think next week we're going to see a ton as well, with players getting their second game in before price rises.
Something else happened, by the way.
What?
I finally had a successful loop, vice captain. Cleary. I think I've ever done it. Yeah, so he got his 120. The way skippers were going, I was like, I just need to lock this in. that always finds a way to screw me. I remember I said it a couple of times before, but I did it. My last time I boosted was 3 or 4 years ago, and I had Pappy as captain versus the Doggies. Mm. Must had a massive VC score of 140 or something. Pappy scored 4 tries in 10 minutes before halftime, legit, and scored 199. I was like, never doing this again. But I did this week and ended up 40 points in front, and Tommy Turbo got pretty close to match him. I was like, it's nice to actually have a win on that front, because I'm not a big fan of doing it, and I hope never to do it again, because it's bloody stressful.
Yeah, it is. if you are looking to use the vice captaincy loophole, firstly, if you don't know what it is, if you type in, I think it's just like, what is vice captaincy loophole into Google, it should be the top ranked story on there. The Spy wrote it in 2020 when we got going, and it still is completely relevant, tells you how to do it. Secondly, if you're looking at using the vice captaincy loophole each week or at any point during the season, on the SC Playbook website, we have a calculator which allows you to plug numbers into it to work out what a player needs to score to make it worth looping. Really, really valuable tool, and makes that decision 1,000 times easier. Also with us today, a bloke who, I mean, it's been, I was going to say an emotional rollercoaster to start the season, but that would suggest that there's been some highs. Matty the water boy.
Yeah, no. It's been bad from a rugby league standpoint, but also all of my South and Roosters players got under 50. It was just... It was one of the worst nights of my entire life. It was so bad. So, yes, I ended up with like 1,050 only because, like, started terribly. Obviously, Cleary, but everyone had Cleary, didn't captain him. Thankfully, you know, Val Holmes got me over the line for the second time in 3 weeks. And again, a couple of good scores from Manly players and Ponga. But yeah, not great. But there's a lot of people in worse positions.
You know what it is, Super Coach, so. Mate, it's not a roller coaster, it's the old big drop. Round one, you came in, boom.
Yeah, and I've been going since last May, and it's just hasn't stopped.
But it does go back up slowly, so maybe it starts Friday.
Not a bad score at all, mate. Guys, on today's show, we will be looking at the big topic of the week, Nathan Cleary replacements. What are our plans with Cleary? Who's coming in? Are we thinking about keeping him? We'll get to that shortly. There's also the centre wings this year are going off. 15 players in CT Dub are averaging 70-plus points. Today, we're going to look at the top four. We haven't spoken about it off air, but our top four ranked CT Dubs we're trying to get into our team by around about round 8 or 9. So taking into a lot of different factors into that one. Team list Tuesday, talking points. Pia Kura, Tor Picky, hold or sell. What are you doing with guys like this? Our hot topics, would you be making a move like Levi or Lussick to Appy Korosau, who has started the year with an absolute bang? And once again, is Nicho Hynes a sell? We'll, of course, drop our round four trade and skipper plans and then wrap it up with a few listener questions. Before we get stuck into it, guys, if you're on the look, SC Playbook on the lookout for sponsors for the SC Playbook Podcast Network, our website, our socials, all that good stuff in 2024. So if you do think that your business could benefit and want to work with us this year, flick us an email at supercoachplaybook, that's full word supercoach@gmail.com to find out a little bit more about what we can offer you. Boys, let's get stuck into the big business because it accounted for about 98% of questions sent in via the socials this week. Nathan Cleary gone for what is set to be a month of footy. They have the Roosters this week. He'll miss that. They have Manly the week after. He'll miss that. And then the Panthers have the bye in 3 weeks' time. Typically an extremely fast healer, Nathan Cleary. So I would suggest that in 4 weeks' time, the Tigers match might be the aim. At a minimum, though, sounds like he'll be missing 3 weeks of footy and $883,000. My first question to you, Desi, is with so much going on elsewhere and so many injuries across Supercoach, do you have to sell him or is there a case to be made that you could potentially hold on to him, save trades, you want him back in later? How do you see it?
Look, I don't think you have to sell him, but I think you want to sell him.
Yeah.
It's too much money in the bank to not go through with it. If he's back in 4 weeks, you just get him straight back in. Just make sure you have the cash spare in 4 weeks' time to get him straight back in because you don't want to go a week without him, realistically. He's the best player in Supercoach. So I'm going to sell him, that said. I think I'll probably sell him to a centre wing rather than a halfback. Mm. I think a lot of people have that idea since they're scoring so high. And it's a matter of the centre wings are in form, bring in the in-form players. It's the name of the game. That said, there's a case to go for someone like Luke Brooks if you don't have him already, especially since Manly play the Dragons this week. He could go big.
Yeah.
Same with Cherry for that matter. But realistically, with Moses out as well, there's not many good halfback options. So I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Very, very poor options, particularly at halfback. Spy, how do you see it, mate? Is it one of the options where you go too much money, too long out, use that cash elsewhere, or could you make the case to potentially hold on to him?
I'm a bit with Desi on that. I don't think you have to sell. There was literally chat yesterday of Ivan and Nate saying he could play next week. In any other scenario, I'd say, why on earth would you play a bloke with a dodgy hemi week before the bye? But it's Penrith. They love doing that shit. And it's like, we'll just play 80, whatever, and he won't rest. So it doesn't make sense. They do it all the time. So there is a case to hold for this week especially and just reassess next week, see if he might play, especially given the dearth of halfback options. Even some of the guys I quite like. So you mentioned Brooksy, he's gone pretty well. He then runs into, I think, Penrith and Melbourne after this week, although it's a really good play this week. So maybe he's not as appealing, but it could still go well. Sammy Walker looks potentially really good after this week. He's got a decent little run. But he might not even goal kick now Suoli's taken back over and just hitting him flush as. Mm. So I think I'm going to go to a centre or hold. That'll be probably something to weigh up. I think I quite like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. We'll get to centres later, but I think him named at fullback. You need, for those that don't understand how to do that, you'd need a halfback in your centre position to do it so you can flip him down. A lot of us have Drew Hutchinson. So for me, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think I'll probably sell him based on the fact, even if he plays next week, which I feel surely it's unlikely, it is 3 weeks off or it's one in 3 weeks. So I'm happy to sell at that price and chase blokes who not only are scoring well but also probably making your money at the same time. So happy to sell, but I can understand if you've got a strong side or whatever, maybe there is some reason to hold or hold a week potentially in recess.
Even like, let's say worst case scenario, if you are selling, he comes back against Manly, who have been really good this year, at Brookie. So he'd miss Rooster's game, potentially, like surely to God not, but play Manly, and then he has the bye, still missing 2 or 3 weeks. So it's like, that's worst case if you are selling in a backfire, not backfires, because he could go huge against Manly, but not the end of the world. I think at 883K, he is a sell. The only case I would have to not sell him is that, A, if by the end of the week we do get word, you know, he's a genuine chance for next week, and you go, all right, maybe. But it just seems ludicrous this early in the season for a player who, you know, essentially the premiership hopes rest on. I shouldn't say that, because Jerome Luai we've seen step up in the halves at both international and club level. So he can do a job, and, you know, you wouldn't put a line through Penrith if Cleary went. But it just seems madness to me with hamstring injuries. It's a lot of money to be carrying on your bench for what's likely going to be a minimum of 3 weeks out. What happens if it becomes 4 weeks? What happens if it becomes 5 weeks? What if the rehab doesn't go to plan, or he tweaks again doing his rehab? All of a sudden, like, that is money this early in the season where there are so many great buys, as I mentioned, this week. There's going to be a lot of good buys next week. I'm spreading that across my squad, and I'll be looking at getting Cleary back in 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think, say it was around 17, boys, and you're a bit lower on trades, then I'd be really thinking hard.
Way different later in the season.
But
the
it's money-making time, you're making your coin, there's good point potential out there.
You've got real high-quality, like 18th, 19th, 20th men that you can plug and play.
Exactly, so it's a different ball game. It's early in the season. Let me get this straight as well. Let me think this through. If you're going to sell Drew Hutchison in a month anyway, once you make some coin, at the moment you're going to go Cleary out, Hutchison up, that's one trade. Then you sell Hutchison back to Cleary, two trades. You're already going to sell Hutch anyway. It's actually only one trade you're using on top of... It's not actually two.
Deep brain spy plays.
Yeah.
I like
it. So you're not actually using two trades, you're using one.
Yeah.
So drop the hammer. If I'm wrong, don't.
Are you going to be running Hutch as your starting halfback?
Oh, I got Nico, so no.
Next week you'll have to, though.
Because Nico's on the buy.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. He's probably in my 7-8 anyway, the way injuries are going at the moment.
I agree.
Best Cleary replacements. Boys, I am a little surprised we haven't seen a bit more chat around him.
So one more thing is important is if you are running Nico, you can't really hold Cleary if he had an AE next week as well, because Nico's got the bye.
Yeah, good shout.
Which you mentioned. So that's,
no, you're not holding both, really.
It's a sell, isn't he? We're selling him. Yeah.
I brought Luke Brooks last week, 53 points. My round was, in Tickelong, well enough, but needed a little booster. And Sunday afternoon, when Brooksy with that beautiful, I think he dropped Tommy Turbo underneath, split him straight through, try assist. He was my skipper. I'm going, sweet, there's another 50-odd points. Oh. When that was pulled back, my heart just broke. I'm just like, that's super coach. You win some, you lose more. I'm a really happy Luke Brooks owner. He's dual halfback, 5'8". My plan is to switch him from 5'8 up to halfback. I think he's looked fantastic, boys. You mentioned Spy, a couple of hard games to come. So he's got the Dragons this week, which is a great matchup for him. They do have Penrith next week, but it is out at Brookie. And Penrith are, I mean, as it stands, missing Cleary, Fisher-Harris, Sorensen. You maybe lump one or two more on top of that, the way this season's going. Who knows? You know, it's not quite the same Penrith team that we've seen, you know, back into last year, or that we'll probably see back into this year. Into the Warriors, tough one there. Titans, I think Brooksy's looked awesome. You're already an owner, Desi?
I am, yeah.
I thought more people would have been flocking to him. Spy doesn't seem that way.
He's 30-something percent ownership already. Like,
I had a look at him and literally Penrith Warriors, I was like, oh, I really honestly think the Warriors D is as good as anyone in the comp there this year. I just wouldn't. If you already own, sweet. You're going to since the Saints this week laughing, but I'd just prefer to chase someone with better matchups, put simply. But he looks good. But he's run on the weekend where he cut him up, bit of footwork. He left, no pun, around Tommy Turbo. No, sorry, he went around Gutho and he didn't touch him.
He looks
lovely.
He looks unreal.
Yeah, it was nice.
Desi, what are you looking at doing with Nathan Cleary this week?
I'm selling him for sure.
Who to?
I'm going to grab Dom Young before he rises too much in price. I know they have Penrith this week, but like we said, it's not the same Penrith team. And he'll rise a probably 80-90k and become almost out of reach. You don't want to pay 750-odd for a centre wing this early in the season. Kind of like Val already. He's up to 800+. Very tough to bring him in. Val was my number one option. I said that earlier to you boys. I think he's going to be the top scoring centre wing this season. He just looks insane. We all started with him last year. No one did this year for some bizarre reason, and he's just making everyone pay. But, yeah, I think Dom Young at the Roosters, he's a big, good shout for a top try scorer for the season. I know Wolves put that bet on. So I think, Dom Young, 150 with just one try. Two try assists, but just one try. Imagine when he gets a hat-trick. It's coming.
Spy, talk about Dom Young because he is for coming off a 150, obviously very popular. 150 last week, 50 in round one against Manly. Neg 5 break even at 640K. Are you looking to get him in or what's your thoughts?
I am. There's a weird game on Friday. I don't want to speak too much about it with Matty over there, but he just ran amok. It was like he's playing under 12s for a bit there, swatting them left, right and centre. It was crazy. I don't think you'll get that for a little bit again.
He had last week, Dom Young, let me find it here. I think it was 14 tackle breaks in that game. Yeah, 14 tackle breaks in 18 runs.
That was crazy. He was drifting off, swatting like fire. It was crazy. That South just didn't man up physically. But for me, here's my question. I'll throw it. I want Roger Tuaszczyk as well, especially now at fullback. I could boost and get both of them, Dom, Roger, and the other trade we get to later. Or do I hold my boost and just cop? I would back Dom Young, probably not to get too much more than 50 against Penrith. Could be wrong, of course. But if he gets 50, I think he makes like 50K or something. Is the boost worth 50K?
Here's a bold call. I think he'll turn up.
What do you think he'll turn up?
I think he'll turn up against Penrith.
I think Roosters
come out and blitz them.
They look good.
I think they'll smash Penrith.
But if he does get his really try, he might score 80 and therefore make like 90K. So
I
the
think
risk
he could score
offset.
50 this try against the Roosters with a try.
Yeah. Like he could get 25. And I've used a boost for 30K.
I'll go sub 50, so. Dez.
Nah, I just don't see it. I think Roosters will win this game. Their odds on favourites now. With Cleary out, a few other injuries.
They'll attack the other edge as well.
They look scintillating. Like,
that Penrith edge is untouched. They're all good there.
Yeah.
I'll go Cleary's side. I don't know. So I just like, my thing is,
supreme form.
Not sure I want to boost for him. If he scores 100, I'll lose 100K and be filthy.
To answer your question, Spy, is a boost worth 50K? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Is it worth 100K? I think it is. So, but like
100K, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's mine for you with Dom Young. And in no world is he a bad buy because best case he's a keeper and the Roosters continue to go on a tear. They do a bit of a job on the Panthers or, you know, Dom gets his 60, 70 anyway, makes a ton of money and, you know, he almost becomes out of reach. Again, we say this about every winger every year. A winger every year and it never happens. You can always get them at some point, but you can do a lot of damage in the meantime.
Asako.
Yeah, but he... Like, worst case, he gets 30, he makes good money, you can decide to keep him or you can trade him to, you know, a bottomed-out gun. So you're not going to go wrong with the trade.
Yep.
In that demolition last week, he had 33 in base. I know you factor in power and you factor in things like, you know, offloads and certainly tackle breaks in the case of Dom Young. He based 20 last week, for those new to Supercoach, mentioned it a little bit, but that is your runs and your tackles put together, minus your missed tackles. So your floor, 20 points. Last year for the Knights, he averaged 63 points. He had just 23 in base, which is poor by any winger's standards in the NRL. And last year he scored a stupid amount of tries. Still averaged 63. So I'm not as convinced as you are, Desi.
Boys, look at the averages. 2021, average 43. 22, 53. 23, 63. You see the pattern here?
2024, 100.
He's going to average 73. I can see a 70 plus average for Dom Young. I just don't think the tries are going to stop.
They didn't stop last year, mate. He averaged 63. What changes?
He's at the Roosters.
Yeah.
And they're probably, you know, a good shout to win the comp. They look really good.
At Brookie last Sunday, 50 with a try. So it's like there are question
Brookie,
marks.
Though. Manly are good this year.
They are good. I know. There's plenty of good sides around.
Yeah.
Boys, it's a really interesting one.
We'll get to more Sandwings very shortly. Spy, have you touched... You've sort of touched on your clear replacements. My plan is to go... Got a big trade plan coming up later in the show. A lot of dual position stuff going on. But I'm planning on going Luke Brooks to my halfback slot alongside Nicho Hynes and picking up Dylan Brown, who has started the season only okay, sort of late 50s, about a 58 average, I think, for the season. I just think with Mitchie Moses gone, some decent matchups to come, Spy, it's just his show to run there.
I hope so, because I started with him.
Yeah.
He's
only at about 23% ownership, which is less than I thought it'd be.
He has a really good kicking game, so repeat sets, try assists off that. Hopefully just getting that ball in his hands a bit more, it's a good thing, isn't it?
I've got some really good stats around him and no Mitch Moses and a few other things, which I'm going to save for beers and break evens tomorrow. I don't want to share it all across both shows, so tune into that one with Guru and I going live at 3 p.m. tomorrow. But yeah, I'm thinking Dill Brown in there, and I think if you had Drew Hutchison, God, a lot can change in Supercoach in a week. Hutcho, who was people saying, we get rid of him this week, and you were like, oh, he had a soft game coming up on the weekend. Give him a week. Then all of a sudden, people needing a backup halfback with Cleary gone, he becomes invaluable, even for a couple of weeks. So
funny old game.
Funny old
I love it.
Game.
Just quickly on Dom Young, because in case I forget later, you could just grab him now, as Desi said. Penrith into the Doggies next week. As you alluded to, he's going to make a bunch of cash regardless. Yep. And then you can just post Doggy's game wired up and sell him down if you want. So I don't mind that either.
Yeah.
Or keep him, obviously.
Matty, Nathan Cleary, we were sort of speaking pre-show and getting through the mania of the team list. You mentioned that potentially a Cleary hold?
Yes, but I didn't realise that they had the bye in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And that's kind of changed completely. I was on the fence, put it that way. I was kind of querying whether it's an option. But yeah, no, that buyer, because there's no way he'll come back next week, surely. So, and you're right, what you said before, like it could turn into more. You don't want to, Penrith aren't going to risk him this early.
Yeah.
So yeah, nah, not for me.
Seems mad. So the other one with that is obviously the way Lachie Gowan started, he probably becomes playable in your 17s. I'm still a little bit scared to do it, but I didn't want to be wedged with, if I was to go Brooks to half, I wasn't wanting to be wedged with Ethan Strange and Lachie Gowan at 5'8". You'd probably get away with it, but I feel much better with Dill Brown there. So that's why I'm going. Boys, let's talk centre wings. And we're going to reveal, and we haven't spoken about these, our top four ranked CT dubs that we're aiming to get in about round 8, 9, maybe 10. So not necessarily who we think are going to be the biggest averaging CT dubs for the season, but the ones that we want in our team in the short-term future, and where we sit with that, because there are so many different options that you can go with. Des, I'll start with you, mate. What did you come up with?
Well, I've gone Valentine number one. I just think we're not talking, you know, end of season, who's going to be the best top scoring, but he is going to be, and I think he's just going to continue. His base is 40 to 50. Cowboys look good. You know, I hate to say it, but they look actually like
premiers. They finally won you over, mate.
They finally won me over as a genuine premiership.
Everyone load up. Desi likes it.
No, Dearden's looking really good. He's looking dangerous. Fair credit to the lad. So, yeah, Val is number one. Number two, I'm tossing up between Kiraz and Lomax. I think they're both massive options. I know Walsh was saying Hamiso, Tabby Waifido, the hammer. And I just looked at his score. I saw 93. I saw he scored a hat-trick. 93 with a hat-trick. Look at Kiraz. Scored 115 with one try.
The one thing I'll say about that, Desi, is we're at that game. It was a hat-trick for 93. And immediately you go, oh, geez, that's alarm bells. I would need to double-check. But it was definitely two of those tries were without line breaks and without tackle breaks. One was off Bostock, who popped it to him and he just ran away, and I'm pretty sure the line break was already made.
Yep.
There was also no tackle bust. The other one was just following a kick through. So,
that's the thing with Hammer, though. He's going to get a lot of his tries as a support runner because he's so quick. He's just going to be blitzing up the field, following in behind. I don't see him making that many line breaks. He's quick, but he doesn't have that push through the line, that step through the line that someone like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who's my next on the list, has. I just don't think Hammer has that tackle bust ability to
break
the line by himself. He relies on speed to go around the players. He'll go around like we saw in State of Origin when he just ran around New South Wales.
Speed creates tackle bust.
It does, yeah, but not necessarily.
Because they can't get hands on you.
Yeah, not necessarily the way the Dolphins play, though.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, though. I get it. And we'll get to Miles shortly, but Hammer hasn't made my top four. He's very... Hammer could average 100-plus this year. He could also average 55.
Yeah.
Big thing about Ham, obviously low break-even, but he plays the Titans this weekend, who are decimated.
I know.
That's alluring.
Continue, Desi.
I've gone Roger next. I know the Spy likes him this week. A lot of people, you know, including myself, said, you know, he looked really good preseason. Looks like a keeper, especially at fullback now over the next week or two. Yeah, and his base is enormous. You know, he just looks like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck of old that we know and love.
He looks so... I was going to say, he looks hungry. He always looked hungry, didn't he? Work rate was never an issue with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yeah, and he's just stepping through the line.
That trial was insane in a clutch moment. Straight around Hudson Young, who he was too inside of. It was ridiculous.
Yep. I've got Lomax there as well. Forgot to really dig into him a bit more. But, you know, the Dragons, they're not the best team. In fact, they're probably the worst team. But he's making 20-plus runs a game, albeit most of them are not over 8 metres, as you boys said pre-show. But he's got the kicking. They'll probably still score a couple of tries each game. So it adds, you know, 12, 16 points to his floor.
Saints score on the right wing. That's kind of what they do.
And
they
score in his position. So I can see Lomax being a top four centre wing pretty comfortably this season.
Yep.
And he's, I don't know how much he costs now, probably pretty close to 700K. So it's almost like now or never. I really don't see his price dropping that much over the whole season.
Not on my list, Desi. Not a knock on it. I just hate, and this burnt me last year with Jermaine Asako. I just hate going wingers, even if they're not over the attack line, just in poor teams. I just want to chase the winger or the centre in gun teams and get easy tries. The one thing I will say about the Dragons and Lomax is they still put 24 points on the Cowboys on the weekend. The tries were there. The attack was okay. The goals were there. So, obviously, a duck egg against the week before against the Dolphins. But week one, they got points. Week three, they got points. So, carry on.
My list pretty much ends there. I mean, you've got Marzu there. I could speak all day about Marzu, I'll let you boys go.
Spot?
I got Val up top. I'm with you. The question around Val is, can you bloody afford him? Do you do it now? Do you try to get him later once you've built some bank? One thing about Val is, talking about money making, he's got Brisbane this week, who do have a few out, into the Titans. Sunday arvo at Townsville next week. So if you can get him in, do you just do a Dom Young type play? I'd prefer to own Val for 2 weeks, take the money on the back of his 150, and he might cash him in for like 950 in a few weeks and then sort of reassess later, heading into Origin.
Averaging, well, like 100 already or something. Let's say he scores well against the Broncos. Then he does go and put a score on, who'd you say the week after? Titans.
You couldn't sell him.
How would you sell him?
But then you could sell him for $1 million at some point.
Yeah.
So that's tempting. But I do agree. I've never seen the bloke run the ball harder than Valentine Holmes this year.
How good
is it? Great goal kicker. Exciting team. Combo with Drinky. Hard to go past. Maybe I'll try to get him in, but just very expensive. So it means your other trades in the coming weeks aren't going to be as good. So it is going to affect your balance. I had Dom Young at 2. Now I'm just reconsidering a bit, but like the upside's there. Is his work rate enough in a tougher game? I'm not too sure yet, but obviously with Chookie's going well, forward pack really dominating. But Knights were outstanding last year as well. It's not like they were bad. They won their last 10 heading into the finals.
Lindsay Collins is out this week. Hammy strain, so it might be a few weeks.
But I do think he's a good buy, don't get me wrong. I just wish he wasn't playing Penrith this week. That's a pain in the bum. Jacob Kiraz at 3. I never quite know where to put him. I just know if he's playing, I've got him. That'll be until he retires. I just love the man. How good is he? Roger at 4, especially playing fullback with Chans in some doubt as to when he comes back. Tuipiki hasn't set the world alight, although I really like him. Combination-wise, they might go with a Roger if Chans doesn't return. So if you do get some extra games at fullback or Chans goes down, you're just slicking your lips as an owner. So I think I'm pretty keen to lock him in because he'll do a job at left centre anyway. Maybe a bit less upside at left centre. Well, no, maybe he definitely does. Yeah. But I think he'll hopefully get more and more involved as the show goes on.
Yeah.
Like Roger there. And the three I've left out, not due to anything other than their draws, are Garrick, Tungo and Brian Toa. They're probably three I really want. They've just got a slightly tougher little period coming out, so I'm happy to come back to them in a month. But centres are stacked. Yeah, it's awesome because everyone could have four gun centres who are different. It's great for the game.
That's my thoughts about all this injury carnage that has been happening. And particularly with everyone selling Cleary, there's just so much money that can be spent across so many different areas of squads. So I'm hoping it really opens up Supercoach and creates a lot of diversity in teams because that's what we want. We don't want to own 20 of the same players in a 25-man squad. So it could be a little silver lining, a blessing in disguise, I should say, for Supercoach and just to keep it fun.
And we've had those years where it's like, oh, I've got money, we'll just pick the four obvious centres.
Yeah.
This year there's like 10.
So
it's
many.
Great.
Boys, I've got Val Holmes at number one, 39 in base this season. Goal kicking, you've covered him. Number two, even if he's not fullback, I love Roger. He looks phenomenal. Basing 38 per game. He's going to play some games at fullback this season. Hopefully he gets a longer run there. If, you know, I'm a Torpiki owner, potentially holding, we'll get to that soon. But if Torpiki's out for a bit, well, just this week, and Roger kills it at fullback, which he probably will, it's Roger.
He will.
He could get like, he could average 70 in just base and power, like with his numbers.
It'd be a bit Manu-esque, eh?
Oh, Manu-esque with just a bit better ball playing, so more opportunity for sort of for attacking points, I think.
I don't know if he passes much, but he doesn't need to.
Yeah, no, he doesn't need to. So I think Tuivasa-Sheck is my number two. Number three on my list, I've gone with... This is very form-based, but I like what I've seen from the Warriors this year, despite being only one from three.
They're about to explode.
Darren Mutenis-Lesniak. Coming. He was an absolute star last year. His base last year, which was his downfall, was 25 per game. It's up to 31 this season. Small sample size. Maybe that continues, maybe it doesn't, but a little bit more reassuring and far better. He's only scored the two tries this year. He had a try assist on the weekend, but two tries this year, and he's averaging 70 points per game. So
I rate it. If hugely.
And again, because of a few of these other guys that have been mentioned already, I'm not that sure that many people are going to go there, but it's hard to forget what he did last year. So, look, the way the Warriors are looking at getting troops back this week, he's not someone that I'm going to prioritise over, like, a Val Holmes, for starters. But I don't see why Darling can't do it again this year. SJ's the key to it all. If SJ gets injured, the other thing about his 70, no chance.
Is he averaging 70?
Yeah, Charns was the key to, along with SJ,
They probably left four or five tries on the park for either Rocco Berry at right centre or him.
Just from not having the ball playing at fullback.
Just those combinations
so
there.
So, like Dallin, Greg Marju, look, if we're talking 4 to 5 weeks' time, get Marju back from injury, one or two games, get a bit of a price drop. If the Knights can start to click and get their attack back, it'll come. It'll happen in time. I still love Greggy Marju and someone that not going to be Origin impacted. Could see him in my team in 4 or 5 weeks' time. And the Hammers, the real speculative one I've got there. Currently an owner of RTS as well. Started with them both. Hammer looking excellent, certainly Supercoach-wise. I've said a million times, there's going to be lows, but there's going to be some highs. I think there's going to be some 25, 30-point scores in him, but I also think there's going to be some tons in him. So my decision will be if he can score well, particularly this week against the Titans, and he can go up above 800K, hold or cut, I can see myself going if Hammer can kill it for a couple more weeks, potentially to Val Holmes or someone like, you know, DWZ. So few decisions to be made, boys. Let's rip into... We'll get through this quite quickly before we end our hot topics and a few other things. Guru and I will jump deep into Teamless Tuesday tomorrow. But Lindsay Collins out for the Roosters, as mentioned. Terrell May starts. Good news for Big Bad Terrell. A few lesser minutes last week. The blowout scoreline, he's not going to need to play massive minutes in games like that. The tougher game, the better, I think, for Terrell.
Souths actually did a pretty good job on him.
Yeah.
That's about the only bloke. But yeah.
Nathan Cleary out for the Panthers, as we know. Brad Schneider comes in. Sean Kepi dropped from the Bunnies. If you jumped on him as an early season front row forward, sort of cheapy to mid-ranger, he's averaging about 31 or something. He was a sell regardless. Brendan Piakura injured. Again, it just can't happen for him, can it? The HIA in the first minute in Vegas, injured at training this week. The two games he's had back since Vegas, scored well, looked good. Sounds like, I think you were reading Spides.
I just checked. Looks like it is a month there.
What are we doing? I guess you got to sell, don't you?
Bye-bye.
Sell. I mean, obviously it's a sell. I'm just, between all these injuries, like imagine people out there with Tino there. They might have Mitch Moses in their side. They have Nathan Cleary.
Oh, it could be so bad.
Again, I think we've all copped a bit of a rough end of the stick, but there'll be teams who have been obliterated by it. Yes. Ruben Cotter is another one who's in a bit of doubt, who's quite highly owned with an ankle injury, has been named. But yeah, I think you've got to sell Brendan
Piakura. Just on Piakura, that's where if you are to buy a Val, for example, at 800 and whatever he is, if you get someone like a Roger, 200K less, you can then turn Piakura into a gun with that extra money. So, like, it's all good and well saying I get to get Val, but, like, value is an important thing. If you get someone at 570 who can do a very good job and then another gun on the top of Piakura, spread those funds a little bit. So those decision making.
It's just a matter of how much Val will outscore Roger over
that's
a
what
month.
You got to. That's what you got to decide.
It could be 100 plus points the way he's looking.
Or it could be nothing. Like, that's the punt you got to take.
Well, just said, it sounds like Chan still could be a few weeks away. If Roger gets 2 to 3 weeks at fullback, I'm backing him hands down the top scorer for those weeks. Like, if I had to pick someone before the round starts.
Yeah, he'd be close.
He's a lot cheaper.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Boys, Zach Laybutt returns from injury for the Cowboys at centre. I believe that was an ankle niggle he had last week. So good news for his owners with a price rise incoming. As mentioned, Ruben Cotter named Tommy Talau on the extended bench for Manly. I think Tommy Talau, if he comes in and plays this week, I think on the left wing at Manly, I think he's going to be a great buy next week.
I was at St. Paddy's Day when that game was on against Chooks. Was he left or right? I thought he played right. Remind us left. Making that up. Was left? Yep. Don't mind the right this year for Manly either, but either way, wing for Manly. That's a good thing,
isn't it? I reckon you want to be left. No Josh Schuster still. 2 games in New South Wales Cup. Good news for Ben Trbojevic. Only played 6 drum minutes on the weekend. We'll get to him shortly. Jaden Campbell returns for the Titans at fullback in place of Keanu Keeney. David Fifita named on the extended bench. All eyes on him and his return. Desi was getting excited pre-show looking at that one. You attempted to go early, weren't you, if you got named?
Yeah.
Tino Fasua-Malawi gone. Keenan Palacea starts. We'll get to him a little bit later as well. You know what? I'll do it now. Very interesting watch on the minute rotation at the Titans because there's 60-plus minutes in the middle to be shared around. I don't know where they're going to go, but still looking for someone just to plug a hole as my second front row forward. Cheapy Town Lolo this week, gone. Catcher Palacea, he's named to start. Again, don't need much. I don't care if it's 35-40. Just plug a hole while we put out other fires in teams. But, yeah, a massive watch on a lot of guys in that team. You know, Mo Fotowaker, Jamin Joliffe. So we'll have a bit of a look at that. Maxi Plath keeps his starting spot over Ray Stone, who returns from a head knock the week prior or before the bye on the bench. Plath, 278K, negative 11 break even. Looks good. Massive base. He's only available at 5'8", yet he's playing lock.
It's a pain,
so he'll get his dual come round 6. But, you know, you look at that cheapy 5'8 spot, it's Lachlan Galvin by length of Flemington Strait. So a bit annoying, but Plathy, by the time he gets his jewel in round 6, he could be 450K for the 2 minutes.
Brown to Plath.
Don't. Tane Torpicky, as mentioned, is out, so RTS is at fullback. Boy, he's a big one. Dylan Lucas, 18th man for the night. Kai Pierce, Paul. Locked in.
Get on.
Look, I think he's probably getting his 80 minutes regardless, but there was some concern with Frizzell, a big minute edge player. Dylan Lucas, who was named to start on the edge round 1, that maybe Pierce Paul plays 60 minutes. I think he's locked into 80 now. Oh,
get on, boys.
You that keen, Spy?
He's first trade.
Oof, really?
The whole week I'm like, how do I get him? I just want him. He looks the class act. He's about to put Ponga away for a try. Hopefully next week when I have Ponga back. He's going to offload to him. It looks pretty damn good, boys. I like him. And he's still a lot of value right now.
Desi?
I agree, yeah. I think he looks, you know, he's got that a bit of Sean Lane about him, big rangy sort of guy. He just needs to get the arms free.
It'll come.
He's not close. He's wanted to offload. You can see it. He's like going, he's ushering for it. But Ponga just hasn't been there, you know, following through on a lot of the Knights, you know, potential offloads.
The Fitzgibbon combination of last year, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
But they were so in sync. It'll come, but it's going to take time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ponga a bit tired, Desi. That's another chat.
A bit tired, but still, you don't want to go without him.
Boys, Piers Paul, he's a funny one. I think he looks okay. I think he has the attribute, physical attributes to be a superstar, and I think he could be, but I do think it's going to take time in the NRL. I know he got pushed off by Pappenhausen on a tackle he should have been making. It is such a big adaption to go from the Super League to the NRL, especially as a young fella playing big minutes with the intensity of our game. Supercoach-wise, he looks incredible. Like, he tackle bus, we know he'll offload, we know attacking stats will come. He's on the left edge for the night, exactly where you want to be outside. You mentioned him linking up and giving the ball with offloading to Ponga, the other way around as well. Ponga putting him through holes.
Yep.
It said Spy, there's still plenty of value in him at 390K, break even of 9. Played the 80 last week, 67 points. He had 49 in base. All the attributes are there to be a great super coach player.
St. George next week. Tough matchup this week against the Wars, but Saints next week, is that the one he comes out and explodes?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
My only fear, and any other week, if there weren't so, so many great trade options, and I certainly haven't ruled him out as a buy this week, like, I'd just be getting him in straight away. But we've got so much. My only fear is if there's a few defensive lapses, Dylan Lucas is sitting there, 18th man, bench, whatever it might be, just going back to the bench for 40, 45 minutes as he, you know, gets the match fitness in the NRL. But at the same time, Dylan Lucas returned from his head knock last week, came off the bench. He's now 18th man. Piers Paul starting. He's obviously impressing in Newcastle.
There is one thing to say. It is the Warriors in New Zealand this week. Break even 9. I thought it might be low for some
Could
reason.
Wait.
Cop 40K and just make sure next week. Don't hate that either. Yeah. And do another valuable trade this week. Yeah. I might do that, but either way, next week he's in.
That's what I'm leaning to. And just copying the price rise.
Yeah.
Yep. Geez, we're in agreement today a bit too much. What's going on?
A little bit.
Don't want to upset the Spy fans.
bit of debate over CT on YouTube, boys. Yeah. Boys, at the Sharkies, forward injury crisis. I don't know if any of them were too long, but a lot of middle forwards out. Brittany Nicker are still suspended for another week. We yet to see rookie and bottom dollar Kyle Iro start at centre. Exciting times. It is because they've been forced to move Sifo Talakai to the edge back row spot.
Not good for Mulitalo, by the way. Combination with Talakai on the left there.
Definitely not good.
Yeah, but good for Nico because he gets a whole running back rower back, which is very handy.
Yeah. Yes. Iro, I suspect it will be a short-term solution to their problems, but it's an opportunity. He's got talent. If he comes out and kills it, we've got ourselves a very good cheap in a few weeks' time. Keep an eye on that one. Nick Kotrick dropped for Schiller down at the Raiders. Unfortunate for people looking to earn a quick buck on him. Corey Horsburgh named on the extended bench for them, for the Raiders. If he doesn't make the 17, that's good news for Morgan Smithies and his minutes. Blaze Talungi. I mentioned, boys, next week there's going to be a few good buys. Talungi, 204K, bottom dollar. Scored 67 last week playing centre? Wing.
Centre. I can't wait. Have you ever seen anyone hit Tommy Turbo so hard carrying the ball?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Named at 5'8 for the Eels with Mitchie Moses out. Whether or not it stays that way, I'm not sure. But, like, if he keeps starting 5'8 spot, because Mitchie Moses is out 6 to 8 weeks, he's going to be another one coming in next week.
Thank you. Yeah.
So many good buys. Yep. Another one who could be a good buy there. And Walsh flagged this as soon as he saw the news in our SC Playbook chat. Bryce Cartwright, who was initially today said to be out for about 6-8 weeks or so, got named on the edge. So I don't know what's going on there.
Find out what's happening there.
But Kelma Tualangi, very cheap. If he comes in and plays an 8-minute back row spot, if Cardi is out long term, maybe he's not after he got named. I do not know what's going on. something's probably cropped up on social media while we've been recording, but it's a weird one. So again, another one next week. Tuolungi.
Tell you what, speaking of people I wouldn't trust, Kelwyn Tuolungi.
Defence.
I'm, as you know, very reluctant to rag anyone who plays NRL because it's a hell of an effort.
Yeah.
He's defensively a massive liability, or has been traditionally. Yeah. So even last week, the one where Tommy went through, that was him drifting across,
oh my
not
goodness,
doing anything.
There was such a big gap.
He'd been on for like 6 minutes or something. So, yeah. Nah, but his attack's awesome.
Yeah. But attack can only get you so far.
It just doesn't impress me.
Guys, if you're lucky enough to be a homeowner, but you're finding your rates are going up at a higher click than Isaac Tungo's Supercoach price, fear not. Some of the numbers going around are pretty daunting, but there's help available with Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. Whether it's an investment property or the place you're living, the boys can run the numbers to work out how much they can save you on your loan. Before you know it, the repayments will look a lot less like Tungo's and far more like Powasso Farmer Sillies. Usually, it'd sting you $129, but if you mention SC Playbook when you get in contact with them, it's completely free of charge. To do so, flick them a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_SCW, or you can give them a buzz on 02-9521-1611. No matter where in Australia you're based, email them more details in articles on the SC Playbook website. I was very reluctant to do this today, boys, but I have to give him a shout out, not even because he's a sponsor, but just because he loves Supercoach so much. Paddy's ranked 113th overall.
Whoa!
He was ranked 57th for the week last week. He was messaging me Sunday night and he goes, how'd you go? And I was like, oh, 1,004. He goes, oh, I got 1,300. He's that good. I'm like, oh.
Are you joking?
Yeah. So he's going all right. So maybe give it a few weeks and just let it rest before you get in contact with him if you're going to, just because he's just going to chew your ear off about how good he is at Supercoach. That'll drop inevitably. Probably a better time to do it. Boys, let's get into our hot topics for the week. Our most traded in and out players. We will have already touched on probably the majority of these guys already, but Lockie Galvin, 204K, negative 62 break even. Is there any case to not getting this 18-year-old star spy? I know you're frothing at the bit with him. You started with him. Touche. Desi, is there any case not to, or have you just got to get him in?
No, I think you just get him in. I went out to Leichhardt on Saturday. Got to see him in person, in the flesh. He looks very good. You know, the base is there. He's making tackles. I don't think he's missed a tackle yet, which is just insane for a rookie. He's throwing offloads. The attacking stats will come as well. He'll definitely get over for a few tries this season. My friend, who's a Tigers fan, is calling him the Galvinator because he thinks he's a Terminator sent back in time, not to save us from Skynet, but to save the Tigers from extinction.
I love it.
Save Leichhardt from extinction.
Love it.
That's so good.
The Galvinator.
I think you've just got to get
him in. His base stats are incredible. Runs, tackles. Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mentioned before that I don't want to be running him and playing him in my 17 just yet. He's 18. He just had two games in the NRL and scored well in both Supercoach wise. Who knows? Maybe he could be a player.
I nearly going to play him this week.
Yeah, so I will for sure.
I've got an official apology as well, so I hate bagging anyone. I just went back on Decaro because I felt bad. It actually wasn't Kelmer who got lazy. It was Luca Moretti. But Kelmer did overchase. But good, he did overchase.
Good save.
Sorry, Kelms.
Big fan of the playbook, Kelmer, as well, so don't want to upset him.
Yeah, I know.
Boys, Abby Coruscant, 572K, negative 22 break even, playing big minutes, got, I think, an early shower on the weekend, or didn't go the 80 because they are putting a cricket score on the Sharkies. Obviously, he's a good buyer. He's goal-kicking, big minutes. Tigers look great on the weekend. My question to you is, in a week with so many great trades available, we've just spoken about blokes that we'd want to get in, but, you know, we can only make two, potentially three trades this week. A lot of us own either Levi or Lussick. I would say, without checking, you know, it'd nearly be 90% of serious super coaches own one of Levi or Lussick. Both with a bit more money to be made in them. Are either of you looking at moving Levi or Lussick onto Appy Coruscant this week, Desi?
I've got Appy, so.
Did you start with him?
I did start with him, yeah.
Oh, I'm in along all right,
I sacrificed that I sacrificed the spot there. And just put in Levi. I think a lot of people did. And he slid over for one. So, yeah, I've already got Appy. But I wouldn't put him at the top of the buy list. I think Benji said he had gastro or something in that game as well. So he's a bit under the weather at the moment. I mean, he still scored 105. So.
Jesse, he got 105 mate, 67 minutes with gastro. Yeah. How does that not put him?
That's just the standards.
It might take it out of him though. I just wouldn't expect that much this week.
That's the standards Desi's setting this year. He's like 105. That's right. In 65 minutes. But you're right. I know what you're saying in terms of like, if gastro is bad enough, it does linger a bit. But he's so good. He played so well.
Spy, you and I Walsh put it well in his weekly podcast. He's been handed the keys to the kingdom at the Tigers. All the attacks coming off him. He's looking brilliant. Spy, you and I are both very, very happy Reece Robson owners. Even happier now because the Cowboys are firing. The middles are rolling through. I think he got three tries. His pretty easy ones on the weekend. Because of Appy and other things going on, he's going up in price. I don't think many people are going to own Reece Robson. So great signs for us. Do you have Levi or Lussick?
Went to Lussick.
Lussick. So you went Levi in. To Lussick yep. last week. Yep. Told you not to, mate. But anyway, here we are.
40, 80K or something.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's right.
Don't understand, does he?
Same trade. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, here's what's wrong with it. Are you now looking at going Lussick to Appy this week?
I don't need Appy. Lussick's still got a massively low break even, so I'll take his cash and then I could have a look at Appy later. But to be honest, it would be Robson to Appy if I wanted to do it. Just keep Lussick on my bench there. He worked hard. Looked to run the ball a lot, Lussick, which was nice. Every quick play of the ball inside the 10, he darted. So I'm happy with Lussick.
If I had Robson, I would not be selling him to Appy at all because you know the crowds are going to jump on Appy. It's going to make Robson a really good pod for you guys.
No, I don't think I'd do it now, but if Appy keeps what he's doing, he's going to be hard to ignore.
Yeah,
Appy's got a negative break even. A break-even of negative 13. Joey Lussick has a break-even of zero. When that 82 falls out of his rolling average from Penrith in round two, he scored 37 last week in 80 minutes, which is terrible. If he can't back up with a 55... 37 in 80 minutes.
That's right.
Spy, you've got a bigger work rate than that, mate.
Mine's pretty big, in fairness.
In no world is 37 in 80 minutes a good work rate. Or
that's your floor, though, and you... Getting up to 45, 50 most games.
All right. Yeah, right. Anyway.
Choosing back, to ignore the above. To it, yeah, carry on.
Back to it. The 82 drops out of his three-game rolling average after this week. If he scores 37 again this week, if he scores 45 this week, his break-even shoots to about 50-plus, and he could be losing money. You look at Appy, who is scintillating. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it has to make the trade, and I also wouldn't be going Robson to him, but... I really like the Levi and or Lussick trade to him.
I definitely like it. Not saying it's a bad play. It's 200K again that's tied up in hooker that I sort of want to spend elsewhere. Strengthening centres, back rowers,
Levi,
all
yes,
that.
Lussick, no. I wouldn't be rushing to trade out Lussick just yet.
I don't mind
they
Lussick.
They played Manly.
I think Lussick will just... probably peter around that 500 mark at some stage, then we can reassess. Yep. But I don't really want to spend like 1.2 mil on two hookers at the moment at this stage of the season. That's my big thing.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm also looking at just a few options and going, all right, with the money that Appy's going to make, firstly, he could be a season-long keeper at hooker. I still think Harry Grant is going to be the best hooker in the game this year and I'd love to own him. But firstly, if Appy can get to like... maybe ambitious, but 750K, the way he's playing, it's possible. He could be a downgrade to Harry Grant, but if someone like Jaden Brayley gets that starting role once he gets back to full match fitness, could be an easy way to free up a ton of cash. That's how I see it. Anyway.
Well, I was thinking just on that, that's Lussick to Brayley for me, hoping to make about 250 on that when it happens. I just don't want to spend my money on two hookers as much as not owning Appy worries me.
Makes me happy.
Let's just see if, as you said before, can the Tigers back it up? We'll find out, but Appy did look very good.
Goal-kicking hooker. I need 22 break-even. Thank you. boys, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, a bit said about in this podcast, fourth most traded in player, 600K, a break-even of one. Spy, you mentioned Val before. You mentioned Tuivasa Sheck. Desi, you've said a fair bit about Hammer. What do you think of him? Do you like him as a buy or not? Spy.
Sorry, I thought I said Desi.
No. Desi spoke about him.
Yeah, this week I really do. Yeah. Break in of one, got the Titans, love it. Playing for 2 weeks, reassess. But that doesn't mean you can't choose Roger or one of these other boys over him.
So but many good options.
If you wanted to go Hammer, I think he's not going to be a bad 2-week plug, and then take his money and either keep
recess
him, keep him or sell. But yeah, I like it.
I'm with you. I'm very happy owner. I think there's probably better buys than him this week. I'm just going to reassess whether I think he's a keeper or not in 2 weeks' time, basically.
Lovely to own heading into the Titans. Yeah. Arvo match, I think. Could be wrong.
5:30, I believe.
That'll do.
Well, it's James Tedesco, 795K, negative 8 break even, averaging, I think, over 100. Desi, Teddy's back.
It's like a phoenix rising from the ashes. That's what he looks like. You know?
Yeah, good.
He's the man of steel. He's just, you know, people were writing him off last season. I kind of stood by him. I was like, he's you know, been the best player in Supercoach for many, many years. You can't write off a guy like this. He just, you know, he was shaky under the bombs a bit, had lost confidence. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't passing the ball particularly well to his outside man. And I think it's just completely changed this season. He's
clicked
into gear. You know, he's busting tackles. He's scoring tries. The Roosters look good. Teddy looks good. I think he's a massive trade-in option.
Yeah, I absolutely nailed my 2024 round one starting team in 2023 round one. I started with Teddy and Val Holmes, and they both started poorly. I'm like, oh, God, it'd be nice. They're 12 months late.
Teddy.
Since I traded Val out about round 12 before Origin last year when the Cows were missing, he was missing something like 4 or 5 games because of Origin. He's tonned up in about 3 out of 4 games in that time since then.
Healing it.
Jeez, he looks good. Break even of 4.
He's gonna was good last week when I bought Trell over Teddy. That was nice. He'll make up for it this week.
Yeah, anyway. Play fullback roulette.
Would you? We'll would we buy him? Like, I think there's more important. Like, I've got I've got Ponga and Turbo, and they're not going anywhere fast. I'm happy with both of them. Both a little bit under what expected. Certainly Ponga, but Ponga bounced back with a good score on the weekend.
We're not buying him for Tommy this week. You just couldn't against Saints.
I'm so confident in saying it's hard because of Origin, but at the very least up until Origin 1, if Tommy stays fit, he's not leaving my team. Not a chance.
I'm actually having a look at Tommy out against Penrith in a couple of weeks. We'll get to that next pod.
Boys.
And you'll go, oh, that makes sense, actually.
Number 4 most traded out, Tane Torpicki. Bit of a tough one because he's been going so good. We've had this one ripped from underneath us because he played, I'll get the numbers up, but it was something like 47 minutes on the weekend.
He's been knocked out twice.
50 minutes for 35 points in base.
He's been knocked out.
No, yeah, first game HIA as well.
Yeah, he's been knocked out twice.
But came back on.
Yep, because I played him all 3 games. Mm. That was my Friday night, tour peak into trail. I was a frustrated man. His tackle-busting machine runs a lot. If he could just find his ball playing on that edge, he'd be an absolute weapon.
He would, and even not. Like, on the weekend, he had 35 in 47 minutes with 27 in base. Yeah,
he's tracking for 50-plus again without any.
And now, even if Chance is a couple more weeks away, like, he's given Roger a sniff at fullback. Like, good luck getting that back.
I know, right? I was wondering, like, he's such good footwork. Is there any chance he comes back on the wing? Bit smaller, isn't he? That's the only problem. But Montoya, saw one of his reads on the weekend. It was like two peaky time. Yeah. It was just more of like a hope as an owner. Yeah.
Anyway, Spy, the question, break even of 13 this week. It just feels wrong selling him. There's so much more to get out of this bloke, but I don't know if we're gonna get it.
Yeah, I've probably in a position where I can hold a week and just let things play out to make sure. Because you'd hate to sell him, then he gets named to kill you. So with all the injuries, I think you're probably happy to sell your other injured guys.
The other thing I mentioned about, like, you know, you give Roger a sniff, good luck getting it back. I knew how good Roger was before round one, and Torpicki was the chosen fullback.
Yeah, and you know, up until last week. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I would like to give him another week, and if he doesn't get picked next week, I'll be able to move him on. But there's, particularly with all these injuries, Cleary, Piakura.
Next week you can go Torpicki to Blaze Talangi.
Yeah.
What's his name? By
Desi?
I'm selling him, actually. finally going against the grain this podcast. My only two injuries are the two guys you just named, Piakura and Cleary. So, I just don't think we'll see him again, to be honest. Something just tells me he's gone. So, yeah, I'm just going to trade him probably straight to Dom Young. Mm. That's my plan of attack, yeah.
Boys, Nico Hines, 862K, break-even of 121, fifth most traded out player. It was looming as a very difficult decision, hold or sell Nico this week. I didn't want to, but I could see myself just going, oh, I might have to do this, particularly with the bye next week. Now that Nathan Cleary's happened and all, there's all these other injuries that have come up out of nowhere, he's a hold for me.
I'm definitely holding. Outside of all that, he's just lost his 120K. So at 970, I understood the sell, and I was actually close to doing it. Now he's back to 85, which is like an 85 average on the season. I mean, not surely he's going to average 80 plus, but if it's Nico, all he has to do is 80 plus, and he holds his value. We've seen a couple of those big games. They'll come at some stage, hopefully.
An 80 plus is a stroll down Cronulla Esplanade for
I know, right?
Sunday afternoon.
Last week, nothing went right. Sharks really did cop a fair hiding from the Tigers physically. Like, they just weren't really in the game. Nico still ran the ball a lot, especially early in the game. He's taken him on. I don't think he's had a try or try assist this year yet. It has to be coming.
I hate that they're missing so many forwards because their side's so weak and it's not going to help him, but I'm holding.
It doesn't mean I love this week by any means. I just mean I'm happy to hold and wait for that to come to fruition. Nico returned. You've lost the cash. Happy just to lock him in now and keep him.
Absolutely.
Boys, last one there, most sold. Number nine, Benny Trbojevic, 314K. This was obviously done. It was done just before team list. We did know the injuries that had happened largely. There was nothing new in team list that we didn't know that hadn't come out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday sort of thing. So he'd still be pretty highly sold. Benny played, I think, it was 61 minutes on the weekend. He only made 37K last week. His break-even is out to 39. There's got to be bigger issues, doesn't there?
One massive point on this as well, the whole right edge of Parramatta, sorry, their left edge, got attacked. It's not Benny's edge. I didn't actually play him last week. Based on that, because they just didn't go there. They didn't have to. They just kept attacking the young centre, new winger, Sean Lane next to a new centre. Let's see what happens this week when, you know, it's back to a normal game. Who they got this week? Got Dragons. Anything could happen. Yeah. I'm not saying I'd play him this week necessarily. You could, but let's just let it roll out a bit in a normal game where they're not attacking a whole new edge on the other side of the field.
For those reasons mentioned, I don't mind him as a play in 17s this week, particularly like if I'm holding someone like a Piakura or a Torpiki, because I've got other players I can trade out, I'm happy to play him for 1 week. If hopefully 60 minutes, hopefully 80 minutes.
We saw round one how good he was. Yeah. That was a couple of weeks ago.
I actually really like, there's also people selling Sean Lane this week. He's playing 80 every week. Injury impacted last year. All right, he's not hitting the heights we'd hoped for, but with Mitch Moses out, Dill Brown, assuming Dill Brown stays on the left, I really hope he does. And no reason to suggest he won't, but you never know when a new player comes in if they're, you know, they're particularly dominant on a certain edge. But with Dill Brown getting more balls, got to be good for Sean Lane. So happy there. Boys, trades and skippers for NRL Supercoach round four. Desi, we sort of touched on him a little bit. What are you doing, Des?
Yep, so I'm going to trade out Cleary, move Drury Hutchinson up to halfback to fill that spot, and then move... what's his name? The Raiders guy, 5'8".
Strange.
Down into center wing. Bring in the Galvanator. He's coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And then bringing in Dom Young as well.
Some big plays.
I might boost as well. I'm undecided yet since I'm not sure if it's in my best interest. But if Piakura is out for a month, as said, then I will probably trade him to Omole Olukuwatu and triple stack Manly because I think they're looking very good. That simple.
He's got some big ones coming. Omole, he looks so good.
Spite? Oh, honestly, after that chat, boys, no idea. Let's see. My targets were obviously Pierce Paul. I'll get Roger in, definitely. I've got to play around with who I want. Maybe a Dong Yum type centre for, well, it won't be Cleary, but I have the cash for Cleary. You have to have a real good sit down tomorrow night and reassess everything.
So you're getting rid of Cleary.
Cleary to Roger, which leaves me like 450K.
So you've got one locked in.
That's one
locked
in.
Are you looking at boosting, do you think? You used a boost last week.
If necessary, yeah. So my first trades of the season last week. If necessary, I do. Just looked over the right here. K Ponga will be back for me next week, Desi. Hopefully at 130K discount. He's got Saints, so that'll be one trade next week. And the young para fella probably, so... we'll have a little look at next week as well and decide from there.
There's also a lot of questions around people using their second boost and saying, is it too early to do it? You know, I keep saying, if you need to boost, boost. Don't force it. But if you need that trade, with all these injuries happening and a lot of great buys on the table, largely, you know, a lot of them as a result of injuries, it's a great time to boost. And,
yeah,
you know, we know that round sort of two, maybe round three, if you haven't got your team right, it's a good time to boost early in the year before these price rises occur. The next 2 weeks, there's going to be a lot more good buys, a lot of cash generation opportunities. So I personally think, you know, while it's not probably ideal to have used two boosts in three rounds or whatever, I don't think there's a problem with it.
I'm pretty happy to boost this week and next and just lock it all in. Be three early boosts and then I will try and hold, but I don't mind doing
it. I'm a genuine chance at
yep.
a boost. I haven't used one yet, but I'll be boosting this week and then potentially boost next week. My trades, boys. So get
Skipper Tommy, by the way, definitely.
Skipper Tommy, yeah, yeah. Desi, Skipper?
Yeah, of course, Tommy.
I'm also Skipper Tommy. Doesn't leave many VCs, unfortunately, but Tommy against the Drags, 5:30 Wind Stadium. Sorry, that Titans-Dolphins game is 7:35 on Saturday. So I'm going Taumalolo out, thank God. Palacia shifting up to front row. I think starting without Tino there, I'm happy to just plug him for a week, trade him next week if need be. He'll have his first price move this week because of the buy. What have I done here? I've done so much.
Cleary out.
Ben Chaboyevic has gone to the back row. Ethan Strange has gone to centre wing. Lockie Galvin in at 5'8". So I've gone Taumalolo to Lockie Galvin by four different dual
love
changes.
It. I like it.
Love that.
Danny Levi to Appy Korosau. And I've also currently gone Nathan Cleary to Dylan Brown. So, as mentioned, with the 9 break-even to Pierce Paul, I'm thinking maybe for next week there, Talangi massively on the radar, and as I said, I could be using two boosts in 2 weeks here. Maddie, what are you looking at this week so far, mate?
Yes, so before all these injuries, I had a beautiful plan, and it was going to be great, and I'm so spewing about it, but yeah, I haven't really landed on anything. I'll have to do some research, as you all are, in the next few days. But
we'll FaceTime tomorrow night, mate.
Yeah, sweet. Sounds good. I'll definitely be brushing Cleary and then moving Brooks. Like, but then do I move Brooks up to halfback because I need to get Galvin as well? I can move Strange. Like, I've got a lot of options. I also want to upgrade one of my hookers to Appy Korosau. So I'm very undecided at the moment, but that's where my head's at.
And skippers this week?
Vice-captain Val and captain Turbo.
Nice. I think Cowboys playing after them.
No, they're not. They're the game before.
Yeah. Damn you.
Give it to him, Matty.
What an idiot, damn Timmy.
Give it to him.
God, idiot. Boys, a few questions before we wrap up the podcast for this week. Question from Fisher. With Mitchie Moses out for 8-ish weeks, does it make it Gutho season? He'll get the goal kicking. I mean, no, not for me, but you can see him averaging awesome over the next 6 weeks, can't
he? He always does well without him.
Yeah.
It's Gutho season.
Not only
sure.
the goal kicking, but...
He has been kicking, though, not going that well. So I wonder if something's up.
Yeah.
He's got 30 on the weekend and kicked 3 goals or something. But yeah, every chance.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sitting here in a month going, do anyone notice Gutho's actually averaging 130?
Yeah.
No, not for me either. Question from Peter. All this chat around halfbacks. Is it time for the Chad to send it? 3-round average of 59.3. No. Brisbane, Titans and Eels next 3 rounds. Low break even. Desi, is it Chad time?
It's not Chad time, Peter.
Spy Chad time?
It's not Chad time. It's drinky time.
Peter, it's not Chad time, mate. Question from Taylor Goodall asking straight C on the hammer. Not a question, he says, just an emphatic statement. Boys, Titans match up, hammer on fire. Desi?
Good luck, sir. Good luck.
Not if you got Tommy against Saints, but if you want to have a crack.
I am an owner, Taylor, and there is not a chance I'm going to put... I'd go grey by the end of the weekend.
The old NRL bounce back is a factor. You get belted the week before, you have to be like...
Especially under Desi Hasler.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's... Bounce back factor, enormous. Yep. I mean, even this season, we've already seen what happens in the space of a week and then another. Dragons, week one, awesome. Week two, punished. Tigers, week one, smashed. Week
Especially
three,
early in the year
awesome.
When guys are still up.
Things change so quickly. Question from Jacob Blocker-Williams. Love your stuff, guys. Thanks, Blocker. Is Smithies, Morgan Smithies to Kai Pearce pulls sideways. He said, surely Big Red coming back to the Raiders, it only hurts Smithy's work, and KPP is a gun playing 80 minutes. So obviously Big Red, Corey Horsbrough, not named in the 17, could easily come in come game day. Desi, do you think Smithy's to Pearce Paul is sideways? And talk to us about Smithy's as well, because a few lesser minutes, I think, on the weekend, nothing bad, maybe 67, 65, work rate down a bit. What do you reckon?
Yeah, Smithy's, I don't know, I haven't really gauged him that much, to be honest.
There's nothing to gauge, he's just a toiler.
Yeah, he is. So I guess you would say it's not sideways, it's an upgrade. KPP's got a way bigger ceiling. He's taken the carries, he's an edge back roller for one. And he scored 67, 50-odd in base, whereas Smithy's is just getting, you know, 35, 40 in base. So it's an upgrade, it's not sideways. But in saying that, I wouldn't do it still.
I don't hate it. The thing about Smithy is I don't quite know. I'm really keen to see what he produces the next couple of weeks to see if he's just going to be someone we move on or hold for a while. But, I mean, KPP's value right now. So, look, I'm not totally against it.
Yeah.
Is there someone else you could sell, though, with the injuries? That would be what comes to mind, like, for me.
As you said, it's not sideways. It is an upgrade. But he's just – in no way is he problematic, Morgan Smithies. Like, unless Corey comes in and takes big minutes off him, he's just – there's still going to be money to be made.
You do a little job through the chaos and then do it. But exactly, there must be someone else you can sell, would be my thoughts.
Boys, a question from Rory O'Malley. Lads, is Galvin a must-trade in this week? In theory, yes. But if you get to part two of the question, 5'8", I have Dylan Brown against the Tigers with no Moses, and I have Metcalf kicking goals and scoring well. I think Metcalf's averaging mid-60s. In that situation, there are other really good cash generation opportunities. Like, you know, you don't need trading that combination at the moment. Galvin's only available at 5'8", Desi. Is he a must for Rory?
Yes. The Galvinator is a must-have. He's a Terminator sent back in time to save the Tigers.
Who would you trade for the Galvinator?
Metcalf.
Two?
I would trade Metcalf. Yeah. I think SJ will, you know, he'll get the kicking back soon enough. You'll want to flick Metcalf sooner or later. Brown is a keeper. I'm going to look to get him in as soon as possible.
Spot?
I think you got to get the old Galvinator as well, personally. Just easy money. Goodbye.
In a way, it's a real shame for anyone in that situation, because Metcalf's been a terrific pickup. And he deserves more. Sure, he's got him through a tough period of, like, questionable 5'8 options going around, but deserves more cash to be made. But I think I'm with you. I think you got to go Metcalf to Galvin.
You could sell Brown if you want. No. He hasn't set the world alive.
As Desi said, I just think, like, he
also playing lots of second Brown. Phase. They're playing lots of offloads.
He's not going to play Origin.
That's a good call,
Brown
too.
Brown is going to, you know.
He's not going to play Origin.
He's coming, isn't he, at some point?
Barring injury, he is a season-long keeper.
I'm more just meant to get, like, 500K for Galvin and then do what you please. Yeah. Metcalf for me, I do agree.
Yeah. Question from Burner, what are your thoughts on trading at Taylan May to Hammer or Dom Young? Taylan averaging 50s, come back to the pack a bit in recent weeks.
Spiral, he's had 2 weeks where the opposite edge got totally decimated and they just went to the right with Tungo. So, I just want to see what he does
they
in
had,
a normal game.
They had players, they had, I think, a centre or a winger injured both weeks. The two teams didn't have a back line, outside back to replace them, and Cleary just went, thank you, and went to the other edge.
Taylan May could have just sat and watched and done his shoelaces for half of those games. So.
Don't trade Taylan May. Don't panic on that. Again, he's the least of your worries. Boys, last one to wrap it up, and it is a good one, and I'm putting you on the spot here. I haven't actually shown you this, but I didn't show you. I don't show you questions anytime, but Lockie Patton, gents, got a left field question for you. Who's your favourite commentator currently? Brackets, Rabs will forever reign supreme. Indeed he will. And which ex-NRL player is your favourite commentator? I feel this makes watching a game so much more entertaining when you get the right one. Spy, I'll start with you.
Whoa, talk about on the spot. I've been a big Vossi fan for a long time. Annoying me a little bit of late. I don't know why. I'm not the only one to say that.
I love Vossi too, but he's also annoyed me a little bit of
late. Something's going on the last year or two, but I love his passion for the game.
He's great.
A bit of a random one for you is I quite like Andy Raymond when he gets a crack. I reckon Andy Raymond is good. In terms of the others, you guys talk and let's have a little think about it. Give me yours.
Desi?
You know what? People are going to hate me for saying this, but I love Blocker.
He's lovable.
He's so bad that he's good.
He's lovable.
Yeah.
He just comes out with some absolute rubbish. You're like, what is Blocker doing commentating on NRL?
I was playing a drinking game at my birthday on Saturday, and it's basically any time Blocker says something's going to happen, like, oh, it's definitely a try, and it's not, you have to drink, it happens a lot. But he's so lovable.
Oh, no, he gets away with it because he's clearly a legend of a bloke. Yeah. I've got another left field one for you, heaps left field, but and I'm not going to go into limitations on favourite commentator, but I reckon Matty Russell is one of the most underappreciated callers in
Russell
the game.
Russell and Raymond.
And people would sit there and go, who's Matty Russell? Well, that's the point.
That's why
I like callers him. Are meant to not be heard and not go, oh, that was terrible calling, or that was annoying, or that's like, he just goes in so under the radar, calls the game so well, has good opinions. I love Matty Russell.
While we're on it, I haven't had many blow-ups this year. Oh, commentators no. calling players who they clearly have an affiliation with, and then it's like, that is unbelievable. I'm like, mate, you just kick Chase downtown. Like, you don't have to talk up a superstar. They'll let you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, it happened with Reece Walsh the other week, and he kicked along, and he goes, he's got himself right back in the game. Like, mate, you don't have to make up stuff for Reece Walsh. Just call the game. It's going to happen. Frustrate the hell out of him. Yeah.
Before I throw to Matty, because I will forget. I forget to say this each and every week, but wherever you're listening or watching, like, subscribe, do all that business for us. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, please, would be much appreciated. If you are on, what do we got? If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, you can subscribe as well. It helps a lot on our end, so please jump in and do that. Let us know in the comments of YouTube who your favourite commentator is, favourite caller, favourite ex-player caller. Matty, I know this is a hot topic for you and one you feel passionately about.
I was actually going to say Matty Russell, really? Which is hilarious. Good. Like, again, nice. he's not my favorite. My favorite is Vossi. I love Vossi.
He's great.
He's just the man. I know he drowns himself in hyperbole. Like, he just says stuff that just doesn't exist, but I love him. I love his passion. I also love, there's certain players, I can't think of a current one on the spot, but there's certain players where, like, remember Charlie Gubb?
Yeah.
Do I remember Charlie?
Like, not one commentator would ever call him anything outside of Charlie Gubb.
Yeah.
It was always, here comes Charlie Gubb. It was never Gubb or Charlie. And I just love that, like, there are certain players in the history of the game that are like that. I can't think of any at the moment, but there's definitely a few. But to answer your question, Vossi for me.
Yeah. No, he's very good, Vossi. Boys, let's wrap up a big show for NRL Supercoach Round 4. Spy, good to have you back on the desk, mate.
Thanks, boys. Two things to add. Very chatty today, I know. I'm going to do a reel on Insta this week for my top 5 countdown favourite commentators, because I actually feel very passionately about this.
Beautiful.
I've been off Insta a few birthday beers the last 8 days, so I've been a bit quiet. And secondly, ever since I came into the studio, my legs have just been dangling. I didn't realise how uncomfy I was, so I just looked down a minute ago. There's 2 cases of bloke beer. Game changer.
Shout out to Denon Kemp.
Yeah.
Clever man, but possibly his best brainchild of all time.
Brilliant.
Has been putting cases of beer where your feet normally dangle.
I just noticed like 10 minutes ago, you probably saw me got happier. It's great.
If you are listening in, go out, get yourself a case of bloke and a beer, midi, full strength. Go to the bloke website for store locator if you want to try it out. Great drop of beer, that one. Desi, thank you, mate.
Pleasure as always, boys. And to the people out there, don't you dare take the captain off Tommy Turbo this week.
Yeah,
it's
gone
big. This is the week.
Don't do it.
150 plus.
Okay, Tommy. Easter sad day. First game, so I'll be stinging for a beer come 5:30. Let's do it, Tommy.
I dare say we'll be back next week. Bit of a weird week with Easter Monday and footy on. The Bloke podcast, we're recording, I believe, on Tuesday, which means Matty will be under the palm. We'll probably be recording this a bit later on Tuesday night. So if you're panicking later next week and it comes out, it will be out next Tuesday night, maybe just a little bit later. Guys, have a ripping Easter. Good luck this weekend. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.